My guest at this time is Andy McCarthy. He is the former lead prosecutor in the case of the United States against Sheikh Omar Abdel-Rahman, a prosecution that convicted the mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, as well as 11 others. Rahman is back in the news now because the terrorists behind all the carnage in Algeria are saying that they will release the remaining living American hostages in exchange for the release of Rahman, as well as another person convicted on terrorism-related charges being held in the United States, Afia Siddiqui. Given Mr. McCarthy's background with the blind sheikh, we certainly want to get his insights on why he is so popular with these terrorists. And if you may remember, we had a conversation with Mr. McCarthy in the fall of last year about why the new leaders in Egypt also want Rahman released. And Andy, it's always good to have you with us.
Nice to be here, Greg.
So what's the fascination? I don't know if there's necessarily a connection between the terrorists in Algeria and Mohamed Morsi, but in terms of why he's the demand for the release of these American hostages, what's at work here?
He is the probably most iconic symbol to Islamic supremacists the world over, of not only their struggle against the West, but their conceit, their deep-seated conviction that they ultimately will win that battle. And you know, he is thought of internationally as somebody who is virtually without equal in facing down the United States in particular, and that's, you know, not just because of the 1993 Trade Center bombing and the plots that occurred right after that to try to take out New York City landmarks, but the fact that Osama bin Laden, someone else who was thought very highly of as an iconic figure in the international jihad, attributed to the blind sheikh, to Abdel-Rahman, the credit, if that's what you want to call it, for issuing the fatwa that approved the 9/11 attack. So, you know, he's a singular figure in this global movement, and that's why, really, since we imprisoned him in the summer of 1993, they've been agitating for his release.
You mentioned last fall when Mohamed Morsi and his lieutenants were advocating for the release of Rahman that, given the shady type of characters who are being welcomed to the White House, it was probably unlikely that he'd be released, but it wasn't completely out of the question. I would imagine the sort of characters making these demands in Algeria will be rebuffed pretty quickly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think they may be publicly rebuffed, at least in the here and now. But, you know, we had very good reason to think, based on the reporting from the Egyptian press and from the strange silence of the Obama administration in the face of some of these demands for the blind sheikh, that the State Department was already broaching the possibility in negotiations with Egypt of returning the blind sheikh on, you know, some cockamamie humanitarian grounds. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. In fact, I think if Obama had been defeated, the blind sheikh would have been returned to Egypt sometime in the 11 weeks between Election Day and Inauguration Day, and I'm still not convinced that it won't happen. I doubt it'll happen right now, but you know, simply because you don't want to, you know, appear to just surrender to these terrorists. But, you know, at the same time, I've been wrong about an awful lot of things. So, you know, this is an administration that has already done these kinds of trades. They you know, negotiated the release of the terrorists who were responsible for killing American troops in Iraq, and you know, that was something that, because those guys were not as notorious as the blind sheikh, I think it didn't grab the public's attention like this will. But it's not unknown for this administration to do this sort of thing, and I think it's more of a question of when than if.
We've obviously seen the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood following the so-called Arab Spring in Egypt. We know that the rebels in Libya certainly had rather radical elements, including most likely Al-Qaeda elements. And now this is happening in Algeria, and of course that's effective what's happening in Mali. Are these uprisings across North Africa, are these kindred spirits, or are these more isolated incidents that just happen to be having different radical elements coming to power?
No, they're obviously, it seems to me, obviously not isolated. In fact, I don't know why anyone would speculate that. You know, since 9/11, and actually even before 9/11, We talked about this as a global movement, which is precisely what it is, and we've even seen it have inspirational and animating effect in our own country, in our own borders. But this is exactly what we've always said it was, which was, you know, Al-Qaeda is an international movement with tentacles that operate globally and cooperatively with a lot of affiliated Islamist organizations, including the Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, from time to time. I don't know why anyone should be surprised that, what we've always regarded as a global movement turns out to be a global movement. And, you know, what I think is shows even more the interrelationship of this is what happened in Libya. You know, a lot of us were against the war that the administration commenced in Libya in order to remove Gaddafi, not only because Gaddafi at the time was cooperating with the United States in terms of providing intelligence against jihadists, but also because we feared that his toppling would not only empower jihadists, but make available to them his arsenal of weapons. And that's precisely what's happened. Those weapons have made their way to places like Mali and are now fueling the jihad against, certainly against the French in Mali, but against, other Western and other elements in other hotspots around the world.
Well, it's certainly troubling throughout that entire region. And once again, American lives on the line here. How do you finally, in our last couple seconds here, expect this terrorist situation to play out, assuming we don't hand over Rahman and Siddiqui? Do you fear that these American lives will be lost, or do you think there's another way to save them?
The terrorists are not notorious for taking and keeping and safeguarding hostages, so it's happened again and again that that people have been killed. Whether they'll be able to extricate these folks or not is really going to depend, I think, on how good the Algerians' intelligence on them is and how deft we can be and other Western authorities can be in trying to extricate them. But that's not... I wish I was in a better position to put hope on that or to shed light on it. But, you know, I think really it's at this point a question of how good is their intelligence.
Complicated as always. Andy, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Andy McCarthy was the lead U.S. attorney in the prosecution of the blind sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and the mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. 11 others convicted in those trials as well. Algerian terrorists now demanding that Rahman, as well as Afia Siddiqui, be released in exchange for the Americans still being held by the radicals in that country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.